Welcome to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting of September 19th, 2019. And we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And I can't remember who does the roll call. Do you do that, Joe?
I do that. Okay. You just asked for it.
Will you please do the roll call?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Member Gibson?
Present.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Barnage?
Here.
Member Bright?
Here.
Member Gehring?
Here.
Member Talley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you for that. And item number two is public comment. Is there anyone from the audience, from the public, who would like to address the committee on items that are not on this evening's agenda?
I have one,
okay.
Although I'm not a member of, I'm sort of a member of the public. I just wanted to draw attention. Can I put something on your, in front of you? This is the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control Zone 3, newly updated and made pretty brochure. It's got a lot of really interesting information about all the facilities that encompass Zone 3. And it's available on the county's Zone 3 website. So if you have anybody that would like them, we can also put a couple stacks in your offices or however you would like, but just to let you know it's available.
Okay. If I could just get four more copies, Jill, for the City Council and AG.
Okay.
Yes, if I could as well, if you have enough.
Uh-huh.
That would be something.
Oh, yeah. And the reason that I should probably say why we did this, I updated this. We were asked to participate in the water education tour. Then they came to Lopez, and they were doing an edge of the drought tour. And so a number, about 30 individuals, were touring California, Southern California, going to all the various reservoirs, and they decided to stop at Lopez and find out how we had managed through the drought. So that was a good outreach chance for us to update our brochure and kind of get some information out.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. And then we'll move on to seeing no one else from the audience wanting to make public comment. We'll move on to item number three, which is the approval of minutes from March 21st and July 18th. Does anyone have any questions or any comments, deletions, additions for the minutes, changes? And if not, I would entertain a motion.
I motion we approve the minutes for March 21st and July 18th, 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
And any abstentions?
I'll abstain since I was not here.
I need to abstain, Jim? From March 21st.
Okay. Does that still work for us?
That does still work. And just to clarify, because at the last meeting we kind of had some confusion over approval of minutes, I did actually do a little research on the Roberts Rules of Order, and you don't have to have been present at the previous meetings to vote on approval. And all you need to have is a quorum present, and even if four people abstain and one person votes yes, you can still approve them.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you for that information. Mm-hmm. Okay, then moving on, the operations report. And Jill, I imagine most of that information will be you this evening?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So from our water operations plant today, as of today, the lake elevation is at 493.60 feet. Storage is at 27,117 acre feet, which is 55% capacity. Rainfall to date, and that would be since July 1st, is zero. Plant production is at 5.6 million gallons per day. State water is at 0.77 million gallons per day. And our downstream releases are at 2.7 million gallons per day. Any questions about that?
Okay.
All right, projected reservoir levels, that's attachment 2 in your agenda packet. You can see where we're at right now is that at the end of the green line, which is actual storage, which is well above our trigger of 20,000 acre feet, but we are on a downhill trend here just because we haven't had any rain. The projected rain graph shows very little. It says in the month of September we would have received the anticipated 0.3 inches and that in the month 2 inches. So we'll be looking at that to see how that tracks with what actually happens. The monthly operations report included in your packet has both the month of July and the month of August. We're still slightly increasing our stored state water behind the reservoir, and that is in part to several agencies, some of the larger takers of state water. They're not taking any state water right now, but we are still using some state water to help blend with the water treatment plant water. So we're actually ending up, we're storing some state water behind the reservoir. Let's see, anything else notable? Most everything is on track right now in terms of quantities of water delivered. That's about where we've historically seen usage. These are our higher months, July and August. And everybody is still in using their entitlement, and they have not started using any surplus. I will point out this chart may look slightly different in that beginning in July, we added that extra column on the left side of the table called surplus requested. This is a new column this year. And that is in part because, per the contracts, the agencies are supposed to request surplus water ahead of time. So instead, we used to just assume that everybody wanted it. Now we're kind of operating more under the per the contract. So as you can see on the chart here, that Arroyo Grande has requested zero, Oceano has requested 400 for the year, Grover Beach 20, Pismo Beach 200, and CSA 12. Zero. So we'll track that usage under the columns that say surplus usage, and it'll be reflective of those numbers, any water that they've taken off of those numbers.
Okay, thank you for that. Any questions? Okay, then I think we're to item number 5, fourth quarter budget status, and I think Christy's going to give us that info.
Hi. Good evening. Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. This is the fourth quarter budget status report for fiscal year 2018-19. This report is for July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. At the end of the fiscal year, total expenses were 76% of the annual budget, leaving approximately $1.3 million. Of that balance, over $900,000 will be carried into fiscal year 19-20 for ongoing efforts and projects. In your packet, there are three graphs illustrating the budget versus actual expenses. The first graph displays routine O&M. Expenses were 95% of the budget, resulting in a savings of approximately $213,000. The second graph displays non-routine O&M. Expenses were 47% of the budget. Approximately $352,000 will be carried forward into fiscal year 19-20, most of which is for the HCP effort. Several efforts were completed and resulted in approximately $52,000 of savings, which will be credited back to the agencies. The third graph displays capital outlay. Expenses were 7% of the budget. Approximately $580,000 of this will be carried forward into fiscal year 19-20 to continue projects through to completion. Several projects here were completed and resulted in approximately $117,000 in savings, which will be credited back to your agencies. All agencies are current on their payments. The estimated credits for fiscal year 18-19 total roughly $381,000 and will be allocated to the agencies and mailed along with the second installment of the fiscal year 19-20 billings that are due January 1st of 2020. At the July meeting, I said I'd be asking for direction from you tonight about possibly increasing your contractor reserves with some of this estimated credit. I misspoke. I will not be seeking your direction tonight. I apologize. During the development of the current budget, the fiscal year 19-20 that we're in, the TAC had expressed interest in increasing their contractor reserves if there were savings from the cloud seeding effort. I think that's what I had in the back of my mind when I spoke to you back in July. So Again, I apologize. Tax suggestion doesn't need to be discussed until later in the spring of 2020, so I'll bring it up again then. But for now, the agencies will be receiving credit for the savings that occurred in fiscal year 18-19. So this concludes my report. Any questions?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Since I used to sit on this board years ago, I remember that we used to see some small credits on occasion, and I see here that I guess most of these savings came from pigging.
Are you looking at the non-routine?
Yes, the non-routine.
Yes.
So could you just kind of just briefly explain, so I can explain to my council, sure, where, how these savings were achieved?
All of the credits? Sure. Do you just want this one category, the non-routine, or all of them?
Yes, please, if you don't mind.
Okay. Sure. In the routine category, it was pretty much all of the line items, except for, let's go back to your graph here. The first four line items on the routine operations and maintenance graph, they're chemicals, water quality testing, electricity, and other water treatment plant. Those are all related to the water treatment plant. Those did not have a savings, but everything else that gets charged into routine operations, we just across the board had savings everywhere. There was not one major thing that caused a savings. So once we netted out the savings that we had in other areas against those top four lines for the water treatment plant, we ended up with the $213,000 in savings.
Okay.
So that one I didn't have anything specific to point out that helped you out. Non-routine operations, like you said, the pigging was the main thing that caused a credit. It was the largest thing you're going to get returned. That was mainly because we've had budget being carried forward year after year after year for that project. And Jill and I discussed that this is a project that's kind of been indefinitely deferred. Mm-hmm. We don't have any foreseeable work going to be done on that. So we just decided we're going to return your money to you instead of continuing to just sit on it.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's see.
Christy, can I just, before you go on,
sure,
the pigging, for people that don't know, can you explain what that is?
I have a very limited knowledge because since I've been at this desk, we haven't done any. It is cleaning of the pipes, I believe, right, Jill?
Okay. I think Jim's going to save you.
Okay.
So,
and I know we have done some in the past.
Pigging is a process where flexible plugs are inserted into a pipeline and pushed through the pipeline under water pressure. And they can be pushed for a long, long distance. And in the process, they clean the inside of the water line. And oftentimes we use pigs, what we call these plugs, foam pigs, that have different kinds of abrasive surfaces on the outside of them and different diameters. So the cleaner the line gets, the larger the pig gets and the rougher it gets, to the point where it gets to a point where it gets the line completely cleaned. And in small lines, it's not much of a problem. But in this case, we've been talking about pigging the 33-inch line that comes from the dam to the Edna turnout. And that's a long stretch of water line, 33 inches in diameter, has millions and millions of gallons of water in it. And every time you run a pig through it, all that water gets dumped into some kind of a container, processed and treated. Mm. So it's a very big item to deal with on that size pipeline. And the TAC has to date decided that we don't have an urgent need to pig that section of line. And that's why it's being deferred.
Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate
thank you.
That. Sorry, Christy.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I think there were a couple of their projects listed here that had been completed. $40,000 is being returned to you due to the spill prevention valve number 5 and number 11 replacement not being, I guess, Jill, we're not even doing that project anymore. We decided that wasn't necessary.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. I see that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think those were the main items in that category.
Thank you. I appreciate
you're
the
welcome.
Information.
Anything else I can tell you about?
So can you just, Christy, just real quick, because I was trying to make notes, and I'm in the, can you tell me from each of the categories what's being returned to the agencies, just the amount? I mean, I think I have the 51,577, then the 213,000.
Yes, so that was from routine. So then the other category would be capital outlay, approximately 117,000. It's 116,641.
Okay.
And that is on the attachment for the staff report. It should detail that to you.
Okay, thank
you. So if you add them all up, and I did my math right, you should get about $381,000 back.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Any other questions for Christy? All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, let's see where we are. Okay, now we are on item 5B, which is the water supply contract changes. And I think Jill have a presentation.
Yes, actually, I have Dan Heimel here with Water Systems Consulting, Inc., and he has been, we have hired him to help coordinate this rather large effort between the TAC and the very agent and all the agencies, and to, as we're still working on kind of vetting out the these proposed contract changes, and it's a large job that I don't have enough time as a staff to kind of like push along. So Dan's here, and he's going to give you the presentation to kind of let you know where we're at with this latest, with our kind of our latest results from some modeling we've done.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, members of the TAC. Thanks for the opportunity to provide this update on the Zone 3 contract changes and preliminary modeling. Similar to some presentations that were given on Central Coast Blue recently to most of the Zone 3 agencies, this is really an update and a preview of where the district and the Zone 3 agencies are looking to head with these contract changes. We're not looking for any formal action. That those items will come back to this advisory board. Well, I'll go back to the TAC, then to this advisory board, and to the other governing boards. But there we go. Okay. So just a quick overview of the presentation. We just want to talk a little bit about the purpose, provide some of the background, an overview of some of the potential contract changes that the TAC and the Zone 3 member agencies are contemplating, a brief update on an initial model run that was done, and then talk about next steps. So the purpose. One of the primary purposes of the Zone 3 contract changes is, one, to address unintended results of the LRRP. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. Additionally, we want to provide enhanced ability for each agency to be able to store water in Lopez Reservoir for future droughts. We want to improve flexibility for multi-year water resource planning. We want to allow for additional conjunctive use opportunities, or the ability for agencies to balance their usage of their groundwater and surface water supplies to provide additional water supply reliability in extended droughts. And then finally, to provide an incentive for agencies to preserve water in Lopez Reservoir, where the current contract structure doesn't provide for that. So just a brief background. When the agencies and the district entered the LRRP, the LRRP worked very effectively. There were agencies had an incentive to preserve water, and many of those agencies did.
Dan, Low Reservoir Response Plan, for yes. those that don't know what the acronym is. All of us in TAC and subcommittees know what it is, but some of the committee members may not.
Yeah, that's helpful. And so the Low Reservoir Response Plan is a plan that was enacted as the reservoir dropped to historic low levels in this latest drought. And the trigger for that, just as a reminder, is 20,000 acre feet and a Board of Supervisors declare drought emergency. And I can go into more background on that if we need to, or we can cover that later. One of the things that happened when the agencies left the LRRP, or Low Reservoir Response Plan, was the water that there were no provisions for them to retain the water that they had stored while in the LRRP. And that water reset back to the district, or basically became unallocated water in the reservoir. And so this was something that the agencies wanted to address. And to do that, the TAC and the agencies have been looking at potential LRRP and also potential Zone 3 contract changes or other modifications to allow really for long-term storage and achieve all those benefits that I listed on the purpose slide. Initially, we were looking at modifying the LRP, but as we dug into it, it seemed a better course of action was to look at larger Zone 3 contract changes, because that would allow for individual agency year-over-year storage at all reservoir levels, not just while we were operating within the LRRP. So this is a slide just provides a brief overview of the structure of the existing contracts and then the proposed changes that are being evaluated. Under the existing contracts, the Zone 3 agencies have no storage rights except when under the LRRP, so when the reservoir is at a storage level less than 20,000 acre feet. Under the existing contracts, there are surplus water provisions where undelivered municipal diversions and unreleased downstream releases do become available at the end of the water year for surplus in the next Lopez water year. However, the way the contracts are currently written, the agencies can only take that surplus water once they've used all of their entitlement water. And so it provides an incentive or a lack of incentive to store the water in the reservoir, or an incentive to take all your entitlement water every year. And so that's one of the primary limitations with the current contract structure.
Dan, can I ask you a quick question?
Definitely.
Why do you think, and Jim would probably know because of his historical knowledge, why do you think it's this way where it's kind of a use it or lose it?
Yeah, I mean,
it goes back to the writing of the contracts in the late 1960s. So other than that, I don't know the answer.
The original contracts back in the early 60s mm-hmm. were written with the idea that if one agency couldn't put that water to beneficial use, say they didn't need it or mm-hmm. whatever, that it should be available to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so if you didn't use it, you lost it mm-hmm. to like potentially another beneficial mm-hmm. you know, person who could use it. The problem with that, obviously, is that it doesn't allow for multi-year planning. Right. It's just you look at 1 year at a time, you move on, mm-hmm. and I guess that's really what this does for us.
Yeah, I guess I can see what they were thinking back then when you mention it, that when, you know, so that it's at least available to someone else, so you're not being selfish with the water. But right. Now it's a little bit different than it was, so I understand that, and thank you for that.
Yeah, I think drought has a lot to right. do with why we right. think the way we are, thinking about contracts now yep. than back then. Mm-hmm. We've had two significant ones just since the dam was built. Mm-hmm. And yeah. these contracts were devised even prior to the dam being built.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you for that. Sorry, Dan, to interrupt your presentation.
No problem. Let's definitely keep this conversational and ask as many questions as you'd like. So the proposed changes that are being evaluated would allow the Zone 3 agencies to be able to store potentially their unused entitlements, as well as any surplus water that could be made available to them in a water year. Also being considered is the potential to store what we're calling other water in the reservoir. So an example of that could be state water and or Nacimiento water or other sort of different water supplies. Now, it wouldn't be physically state water or NACI water. Those storage would be generated through what we call in-lieu deliveries. So taking delivery of those supplies as opposed to Lopez water and keeping the Lopez water in the reservoir. And that's made possible specifically with State Water because there's an interconnection of the State Water Pipeline and the Lopez Water System at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. Other minor contract provisions that might be updated just to address things that may have been carryovers from contracts originally developed in the 1960s or specific language that could use clarification. And again, the benefits, the intended benefits of these changes are to provide incentive for agencies to preserve water in the reservoir, enhance conjunctive use, and to store water for potential future droughts. So this is a slide showing an overview of the different steps that the agencies are envisioning to complete the Zone 3 contract changes. Starting off with just developing the consensual changes. Then performing reservoir modeling of the potential changes or amendments to understand what impacts they may have to reservoir operations, downstream releases, and other Lopez reservoir operating parameters. The changes will require some level of CEQA evaluation, and that's one of the things that the modeling will inform is how much of an impact and what level of CEQA analysis would be required. And then obviously the changes will be need to be incorporated into the contract, so specific contract modifications, specific language, and then ultimately approval. And I think we're envisioning it would have, I believe, does it require unanimous approval by all Zone 3 agencies?
Yes, all contract amendments.
Yep.
By all agencies.
And the board supervisors, presumably, yes. Yeah. So kind of where the group is right now, they've developed some potential contract amendments conceptually, and we're starting to utilize the reservoir model that was developed to support the Habitat Conservation Plan to be able to model these changes. So with that, I'll transition just to quickly give you an overview of the recent modeling analysis that's been done and some of the interesting findings. So one of the first steps in the modeling was to develop what we're calling a baseline scenario. And so this is a model scenario that simulates how the reservoir would operate under the current contracts and current operating conditions. The reason that we didn't want to compare changes to historical operations is because there's been a number of factors that have and operating parameters that have changed around Lopez Reservoir over its history, including changes in how much water gets released downstream, changes in water demand by the Zone 3 agencies that impacts how much water is diverted to the treatment plant and then ultimately delivered through the pipeline to the customers, and then changes associated with the seismic dam retrofit project. So the baseline scenario was developed to represent sort of more current operations, and so it includes historic hydrology, so the rainfall that we've received since the dam was built, because that is the best data set we have for, at least at this point, predicting what the future is going to look like. But downstream releases are going to be represented by what we've seen more recently, so the average of the last 10 years in downstream releases. And then another assumption is municipal demands. At least in this scenario, the model assumes that the agencies would take their full entitlements because, again, there's no storage provisions within the current contracts. And so here's a graph that models storage in Lopez Reservoir, both historic storage, shown in red. So this is how much water was actually in the reservoir from 1969 to 2017-18. And then the baseline scenario, shown in black. And that's the model's estimate of how much water would have been in storage using the parameters I showed on the previous slide. And so there are a couple of interesting things of note here. One is, for the most part, for the first 30 years, you know, that you can see there's pretty good correlation between the historic and the baseline. But as we enter the late 90s, the two lines start to diverge, and what we see is that the historic storage is quite a bit less than the baseline predicts. And the primary reason for that is prior to the seismic retrofit project, the district and Zone 3 agencies had to release significant amounts of additional water to try to reduce the storage levels in the reservoir because of the seismic failure concerns of the dam. And so that's shown here. Oops. Let's see if I can. These big release periods right here. Where much more than 4,200 acre feet was released from the reservoir to try to reduce the amount of water in storage. And then what we saw is we never really recovered from that. And, you know, the lines didn't converge until 2017 in the lowest period of the drought. And so if you look at the baseline, and which models what would have happened if we didn't have those significantly increased releases during those years, we may have had more reservoir spills since 1997 than we did, which we have had none since the last time the reservoir spilled was in 1997. However, if we hadn't released so much water during those periods, the reservoir may have spilled 4 additional times since then, including most recently in 2011. So that was just it was an interesting finding and something we want to capture in our predictive scenarios. So that's the baseline scenario, or at least the initial baseline scenario. We'll be using that to compare against additional modeling scenarios where we'll incorporate contract changes and assumptions for how the reservoir would be operated, and then be able to compare those two to see the differences in operations. And again, that those differences will feed the CEQA evaluation and the impacts. So, again, this is a slide just specifically talking about some of the provisions that are being changed. And I think we've talked about, you know, storage rights for entitlement and surplus water, other storage rights for other water. One of the things when you incorporate storage is now we need to account for evaporation losses of that stored water and losses due to spills, what water is lost when the reservoir spills. Again, some minor clarifications around delivery commitments and capacity limitations. Those are probably more just fine-tuning the language. And then any other outdated contract modifications that need to be made, this would be a good time to address those as well. So the next steps for the TAC in this initiative, and one and two are really going to proceed in parallel, performing sort of the preliminary CEQA evaluation. So this is just coordination with county environmental staff on, you know, how they see this process playing out. Additionally, developing those draft contract language amendments. And then in the meanwhile, doing these additional modeling scenarios to evaluate impacts. And then the part where we'll be coming back to the advisory committee, the board of supervisors, and potentially even the individual agency governing boards when we're ready to proceed with that formal CEQA evaluation and get authorization to develop final contract amendment changes.
Do you have a timeline for this process?
The agencies would like to move this forward on an expedited timeline. I think that's one of the reasons that they requested that I come in to support, just to provide a little bit of extra horsepower. We have had a number of discussions to date, and, you know, I think we've gotten pretty close. You know, at least we've had, three or four TAC meetings, and I think we have pretty good alignment, but as you get into the nitty-gritty details, you know, sometimes it takes a little longer. But the goal is months, you know, to be able to come back to specifically for that next authorization would be in ideally by the next advisory committee meeting. But so,
thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Dan?
Just a clarification, please. So you're saying you think you'll be back, you'll be back to us, like, for the CEQA evaluation portion in 2 months?
With authorization to enter into that formal, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Questions for Dan?
Oh, just a brief comment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll remember Dan talking about us being required to make releases because of the seismic retrofit project and the weakness, perceived weakness at least, of the dam. And what I remember at the time, and this would have been the late 1990s, the Division of Safety of Dams had basically ordered us to lower the reservoir level to 460. So tonight we had a report on reservoir level that it's actually at 493. So that would be 33 feet lower than it is today. So it took some enormous releases to try to make that go.
Yeah.
I guess, Dan, I'm wondering if you have a sense of the time frame on the CEQA review.
Have you talked with environmental on that?
No sense right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose we'll be talking about it at the next meeting, probably.
Yeah.
Well, in part, it depends on what the modeling shows, because if the modeling, for instance, shows there aren't any significant impacts to the environment, then the CEQA process is much simpler.
Exactly, and that's really why we're doing the modeling, is to be able to inform that.
Yeah. As one example, as I recall, part of the modeling that wasn't discussed because of its complexity tonight seemed to show that during the last drought, when we were under the LRRP, in fact, and the municipalities were cut back, because of the stored water that would have been present had we been able to have storage, there would not have been a necessity for the agencies to have their flows reduced. So that kind of thing can come up during the modeling process that we simply don't know right now.
True. Okay. Well, thank you for that update, Dan.
No problem. Thanks for the opportunity.
Welcome. And that brings us to capital projects update. And that's Jill, I think, again.
Yeah. So on attachment 6, page 20 of your packet there, we have our project update from David Spiegel. There hasn't been a lot of movement on or anything really significant on any of the projects that we've been working on. We're a little bit of a holding pattern still with respect to our spillway assessment. We haven't gotten it back. We haven't had approval to move forward. So that's we're not sure how long to be waiting on that. The other one, we are also looking at DSOD has approved our inundation maps, and we're working on finishing up the emergency action plans, and we've had some comments back, so now we have to address those. The other item that I wanted to bring attention to was structural assessment of the terminal reservoir. We did determine, we found out that we wanted to do some geological studies of the terminal dam because it's built similarly to the way the main dam is. And in order to get some more data, we needed to drill, core some holes, and you have to actually get a permit from the Department of Safety of Dams to do that. So we've applied. Again, they told us months to get one, so on hold on that front. And other than that, we're just sort of slowly plugging along on a lot of these. It's just there wasn't any significant change that needed to be brought to your attention. Do you have any questions on any of the projects?
Questions, anyone? Anyone? Okay. Thank you, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that takes us to item number 7, which is which are action items. We have none this evening. And then item number 8, I'm sorry, two different action items. No subsequent Board of Supervisors action required. We have none of those action items. And then where we do need the Board of Supervisors action, we have one, which is cloud seeding. Yes. And I think Jill will be giving us that report as well this evening.
Actually, I brought a special guest.
Oh, okay.
Ray D'Enzo from our Water Resources Division. He's actually been the lead all along on the cloud seeding project. And so he's here to give you a little update where we're at.
Okay, great. Welcome.
Right. Good evening again. So what you have before you here is just it's a schedule of it's an update of where we are in the cloud seeding process. The mitigated negative deck was approved on August 13th by the County Board of Supervisors, and as I stand before here today, just want to let you know that the RFP has been released. It's out on the streets, and it's been released on Monday, and it's scheduled to. We established a 2-week bidding period for the proposals, so we should be getting bids September 30th. The RFP is we're proposing a 3-year time period for it, and it's mainly an airborne program. But there is a possibility that we can partner with the County of Santa Barbara. They have a land-based station possibility that they've already leased. But that's still negotiable. And when we get the bids from the potential contractors, we'll be able to provide more details on that. The other item that's also attached in your packet is the suspension criteria. The TAC has reviewed it, and they vetted it. We've incorporated their comments into the suspension criteria. I've also sent. I've also reached out to the ag community, and Brian Talley has given me his recommended change, and the recommended change would be on number 7. Right now, it says. Under suspension criteria, it says if the district is notified of impacts to agricultural harvest conditions within the Lopez watershed or areas near the Arroyo Grande Creek, seeding operations may be halted. The suggestion is to change it to any agricultural impacts, not limited to harvest conditions, but just any kind of agricultural impacts. Then we would reconsider and possibly halt seeding operations.
Well, and maybe to add a little bit more color to that, actually, when it rains a lot, the biggest impact to us is actually on planting operations. We're generally pretty well set up to continue to harvest through wet conditions, but often we can't plant. So that's why I favored a more general statement in that regard.
Okay. And also keep in mind, too, that the suspension criteria, there's a line in the suspension criteria that we would always be able to change it if need be. If conditions happen that we don't foresee, we can change it, just depending on whatever conditions that we see as the program moves along. So, but yeah, we will definitely incorporate that. Because this isn't the final product. This is just a draft suspension criteria. What really matters is when the operations plan gets generated by the cloud seeding contractor, all of these things get finalized. But even when it's finalized, there's still some kind of adaptive management that's applied to it. So keep that in mind, too. So.
And when you take the contract to the Board of Supervisors to get it approved by the by them for this weather modification consultant, do they also approve the suspension criteria?
Yes, they do. They do approve the suspension criteria, but it is also they also approve that line that says we can make changes as kind of an adaptive management type thing. So back to what Jill is saying. So once we get all the bids back, we're going to do the review of the bids and then negotiate the contracts. And we're anticipating December 10th is when we're going to present the contract to our Board of Supervisors and you know, start the process for you know, to ramp up the program. And hopefully December 15th we'll be up and running or close to that. So anticipated we'll start seeding this winter, possibly January. So anyway, that's my update. And
Okay, any questions? Yeah. Thank you for that, Ray. I have one question. Okay, so you said possibly start seeding in January.
Yes, because they even though the notice to proceed would be, you know, December 11th, mm-hmm. They would still need some time to ramp everything up to get everything operational. So
right.
2 to 3 weeks is a reasonable amount of time for that.
Okay. And then I had one other question on the item you were just speaking about on the suspension criteria, number 7, which you we changed that possibly. So to me, when I read that, it just seemed like a real blanket, vague statement. So I certainly understand and appreciate that there would be impacts if it's just raining and that's another question. Actually, as far as the cloud seeding goes, I'm not really familiar with. I mean, we've talked a lot about it, but how long would it potentially be raining when you cloud seed? You know what I mean? Like how? I just mean how you're talking about, I mean, the impacts to the, I mean, how much impact is it going to be to the harvesting, I guess I'm asking, or to the planting?
That's a good question, and that's why I did, me being unfamiliar with the ag operations, that's why I did ask, you know, for your input on it. So anyway, Brian, I don't know if you're able to answer that question.
Well, I mean, I guess the historic data that I saw, mm-hmm. I guess the expectation is that this might increase rainfall between, I think it was 7 and 13% or something mm-hmm. like that. As I understand it, where the main effect is going to be is in the Lopez Lake watershed,
right.
which doesn't even impact us.
Oh,
and
okay.
And so I can't imagine a scenario
right.
where Ray's going to call me up and say, gee, are you worried about us cloud seeding because, you know, it's too wet now or something. I mean, I just thought that it was prudent to have a more general statement
okay.
as we go into this. But, I mean, the way it's supposed to work, I think, is they're trying to get it to rain behind the dam, not
right.
not where we're
right.
farming.
Yeah,
okay.
We're targeting the Lopez watershed. That
okay.
is what we will be clearly
back.
Working
yeah.
for no matter what. And I'm sure, you know, I have confidence that the consultant, they've been doing this for years and years and decades probably, that they by now they have enough technology that they can be pretty accurate.
I might call Ray if I notice the plane is flying over my ranch and
yeah.
know, dispersing the material at that point.
Yeah. Well, he might be, but he's aiming for...
Okay. Good point.
Okay. I think that was my only question. So, I mean, I understand that, but it was just something. And you're right. It's going to be the watershed, and you also speak in the staff report about not. It won't be over the urban areas of the cities. I mean, so that makes sense too. So, any other questions?
May I make a clarification?
Yes.
So this is the first time we've done this in here. I remember we were talking about it in 15 and 16 here mm-hmm. in Zone 3. And then, so this is the first time we've done this
Yes,
here.
This is the first time we're doing
okay.
this.
Okay.
Officially,
oh, well,
yeah.
Actually,
oh,
yeah.
I'm
we
very
did,
excited to hear that.
We did this in the early 90s. And as I recall, we were in partnership with Santa Barbara County.
I remember.
But what happened was we got orders to lower the dam level.
Oh.
And, well, and in 97, 98, 98, 99 were very wet years. So it just stopped happening as a result of those two factors.
Interesting. Well, I'm really excited to see how this goes. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Right,
we appreciate
you.
That update. It's exciting. All righty, moving on to future agenda items. Anything on the anything under the future agenda items we need to talk about or remove off of there? It looks like everything is something that might be coming before us eventually.
Right. Yeah. I leave these on here just so that we don't lose track of things. It's a little bit of a reminder that we need to keep, you know, providing updates periodically on some of these longer-term efforts. So, but if there's anything else you would like, I did ask at Jim Gehring's request to add that last one, D, which was a cost-benefit analysis of abandoning the use of the terminal reservoir. So we're kind of looking into that. I think it's going to require us to budget some money for it. But, yeah, we're going to try to get our arms around, like, what will we need to investigate that.
Okay. Thank you for that. If no one has any comments or questions on that, we'll move on to our last item, which is committee member comments. Any comments from the committee members?
No? I would just like to acknowledge the fact that Jill Ogren came to a meeting of local agriculturalists, actually at my place yesterday, and presented a real nice overview of really much of what Dan presented to us today to our local farming community. It was very helpful and generated, I think, a lot of very productive discussion.
Oh, good.
So thank you, Jill.
Oh, you're welcome.
You.
It was great.
Okay. Well, then, unless there's anything else, I will move to adjourn.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So are you going to bring these the next meeting? Is that what